Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Pioneer Podcasting presents House of Kim with Kim Zolciak Bierman. Join Kim, her husband, and six children as she shares her journey to success and the positive mentality that brought her here. Come on in and make yourself at home. Now here's your host, Kim Zolciak Bierman.
Welcome back, you guys, to a brand new episode of House of Kim. If you're just joining us, take a seat and get ready to enjoy our conversations, be inspired, and increase your own positivity. Okay, you guys, there's a lot to talk about in general. There's lots of catching up we have to do. There's lots of things I have to say. Let's just jump into Ariana's birthday.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, just say hi.
I am. I'm saying hi. Hello, everyone.
Should I introduce you?
No, you should absolutely not.
Hi, my podcast partner is Croy Bierman. Just so funny. Okay, you guys, I just want to jump into things. Listen, one thing I do want to touch base on right now, and it's not even on my piece of paper, okay, because I do try to stay organized, is everybody's like, I can't believe you didn't get into why you stopped your podcast.
We did.
They want details.
Oh,
they want
details.
I don't know what.
They want the juice.
Yeah, they want the juice.
They want the
so,
meat.
So there was a couple things, I think, right? I think without, you know, for me personally, just me personally, so much going on with COVID, kids going to school, kids being out of school too. Like if one person, say KJ's class, because KJ's out of school right now again for 10 days
right.
because somebody sent their kid to school with COVID.
Yeah.
If the dad has it, you should probably keep the kid home. Like all of our kids had to stay home because of Brielle and Ariana. You don't send your kid to school if a sibling or a parent has COVID. Well, somebody did. I don't know who it is, but it's probably better that way. And so KJ's out of school. So KJ would go to school, for example, or the twins were out of school, whatever. And so that was kind of a struggle and a juggle.
Yeah.
Also, Don't Be Tardy was on. And this is on a side note, you guys. And I, you know, I have like fleeting thoughts. But in my notes here today, because we've worked on this podcast, my assistant, Nikki, who we'll talk about in the future, Croy, everybody, we've all worked on this podcast and getting a little bit more organized because I do have such fleeting thoughts. And in the podcast here, they want to recap. Nikki thinks, and Croy, I think it's a great idea to recap Don't Be Tardy season 9.
A fast recap.
A fast recap.
Yeah.
I'm not interested.
Okay.
I don't want to do it. I don't.
We're not doing it then.
No, babe. So I want to know if you guys want us to recap like some of the stuff that you didn't see on Don't Be Tardy. Or is it like too far gone? It aired a month ago and
old news.
It's old news.
Maybe.
I want your thoughts. House of Kim at KimZolciak.com.
Yeah. Well, and Kim and I, we really try to listen to your guys' feedback. And we were hearing the noise of, you know, we were kind of getting off track a little bit with timing and missing a couple here and there. And so we are dedicated to delivering you guys quality content. And we didn't feel like we were able to do that for a couple different reasons. One, on our front, some other fronts that...
I'll tell you guys, you know what? Honestly, I wasn't all that positive, right? I wasn't feeling like super positive. I was feeling a little bit overwhelmed. I have Salty K that's amazing and super successful. We have huge, huge shit happening with Cab Cosmetics. Cashmere is just always going to be my first baby. The kids in and out of school. I had a procedure that changed my life and made me feel so amazing for a couple years. As you guys know, I just didn't feel my best, right? I would have...
Something was bogging you
yeah,
down.
Yeah, something was just... I wasn't my best. I wasn't 100%. I couldn't figure out what it was. Prayed about it. Figured it out. I'm not fucking sharing it. At least right now, I'm not. And I was in LA for a little while. It was the best thing I could have done for myself. And I had no idea how actually serious it was until they got in there. So that's that. And then after that happened, I was like, holy shit, I feel amazing. This is the best thing I could have ever done for myself. Pissed I didn't do it 2 years prior. So anyways, I think going through that kind of just, I really put, my family will always come first. Health for all of us is number one. And I think that if I can't, you can feel my energy through this mic. I feel, right? I can feel people's energy when I listen to them on the radio or I love Audible, love fucking Audible. And the energy that people like Rhonda, who reads The Secret, her energy and her voice, like she puts me to sleep. Like she's amazing, which putting me to sleep is a good thing because I can't sleep very well. But anyway, so that's why there's other things involved with just the company and just other things. But at the end of the day, like we took a break because we didn't feel like we were delivering 100%. My heart wasn't totally in it just because of some of the stuff that was going on. And then the kids being out of school. So we'd have to homeschool for 10 days. Then they're back in school. Only two of them are out. Two of them are going, you know, et cetera. So there's really nothing more to it. Like nothing, there's nothing crazy because like I said last week, we own the podcast. It wasn't like somebody removed it, right? I don't own Don't Be Tardy on Bravo. We're executive producers. We don't own Don't Be Tardy, for example, right? Yeah. So that's different, but the podcast we do. So I hope that answers some of your questions more thoroughly.
I think it does.
I am so stoked that you guys are so happy that we are back. I did see that you guys were a little bit perturbed with the yelling, I guess. They felt like we were yelling.
Yeah, we're adjusting the audio levels. We got some new mics so you guys can hear us nice and clear, trying a couple different things. So I think we got them figured out. You let us know if we're still too loud, but...
You're so sweet.
It's just the levels. You got to get those audio levels
just
right.
Well, if you were too loud, turn your fucking volume down on your headphones or something.
Yeah, you could do that too, or... You want everybody to be balanced. So I think I think we got it. If we don't, let us know. I know you guys will, and we'll keep adjusting for you.
Okay, you guys, let's jump right into, you know, here's a couple of things we're going to cover on this podcast, right? We were wavering on going over the top for Ariana's birthday. Of course we did.
Yeah, you did.
Oh, me? Okay. And it cost us big time. Within 24 hours of giving her ass a huge surprise gift. Okay, you're not even going to believe the story. When I tell you, I didn't share this anywhere on my social media. I knew something like this was going to happen. Okay.
Yeah, just had a feeling.
We're going to talk about Cash. He had reconstructive surgery on his face because of the dog bite a couple years prior. It was one of the scariest events of our entire lives. But he got a call video from one of the biggest celebrities in the world, which made everything just seem okay. So we're going to get into that.
Yeah. And it really helped, flipped the script on kind of how everybody was feeling.
No, everybody was feeling, you guys. Hopefully I can keep my shit together when I play the video for you guys. You'll hear the audio because it's a pretty incredible message. We had the most amazing night with the twins glamping sleepover. That's why we're never going to do it again. And
please don't.
No, never again. And Croy won't get a... Why can't I say it? Croy won't get off his ass because that's not really true. And Croy will not get off his ass, so we still have 9 Christmas trees in our house.
Really? No. Really?
No, you guys are going to just wait. That's why I can't really say it. That's why I'm fumbling over my words because Croy works from sun up to sundown.
We all do. We're kicking ass over here, taking names.
Okay, you guys, so... We're going to do this family update thing first. You guys love it. They said, lose the positive segment. Just talk about yourselves. I'm like, that's kind of weird for an hour, but okay.
All right.
Okay, you guys, Ariana's 19th birthday. Straight A student. Do you know that Ariana, since she started kindergarten, has been on television?
Yeah, her whole school career.
K through 12, Ariana has been on television.
Yep.
And has maintained straight A's. She's had a B here and there. For the assholes that are going to say something.
She's been above average. We'll put it that way. She's way above average.
Oh, she's unbelievable.
Average is C, right? They consider average.
She just got her report card from college.
Straight A's.
Straight A's.
Yeah.
Straight fucking A's virtually.
Yeah.
And Ariana's like a visual. Like she needs to be in person and she's really struggling with college not being in person. And then she told me yesterday that she thinks her professor passed away because he hasn't responded to anybody's messages since last Tuesday.
Maybe he just went on vacation.
But you should probably tell people that. But anyway, so Ariana got a brand new Honda Accord when she turned 16.
Well, she didn't get it.
We got it for our assistant, like a family assistant, like whatever.
Runaround car.
Everybody's kind of runaround car. brand new white Honda, leather seats, the whole nine yards. Really cute. I used to drive a Honda. I drove a couple Hondas in my lifetime. I don't know if you know this, but when I met Croy, he had a gold Honda.
Yeah,
which
sure
is
did.
The like, I don't even know why you would buy a gold Honda, but okay.
That just made you tingle. I know it did.
Actually, it was like a turn off,
it,
but okay.
It was a turn gold. On. Turn on.
If
say
it
turn
was
on.
Black or white, it would have been okay.
No, it was actually, it was like, this man, he knows what he's doing.
No, I thought you had no clue what you were doing. Who would go to the lot and buy a gold Honda with
a hell
tan
of a deal on it? It was
cloth
it's
seats.
Not gold. It was like it, champagne. Okay, champagne no. with tan.
You guys.
Champagne with tan seats.
So ugly.
And it was so economical and so easy to zip around Atlanta doing all those charity things for the Falcons. It was just perfect. I couldn't drive my big truck.
Make the fucking bitches melt. I couldn't doing all this charity thing for the Falcons.
I couldn't get my big truck everywhere. So, I mean, it was simple.
So ugly.
You should have been like, this guy
the
is resourceful.
The only reason why we got rid of this car is because my assistant slammed on her brakes.
Terrible, you guys.
Shattered an entire gallon of milk.
Yeah.
In the back seat.
Went to the floorboard.
Went to the floorboard.
She tried to like take some paper towels and like soak it up. And she's like, I got it, right? Maybe use like half a roll of paper towels.
In the dead of summer in Atlanta.
Yeah, maybe got like half of the paper towel rolls all soaked up. And I asked her after this whole thing was done, I was like, you thought a half a roll of paper towels would soak up a gallon of milk? I said, you should have used up probably two rolls had you gotten it all up.
Wait, I got to keep going with this story. I'm sorry to get off track here. Yeah. It's not on my fucking paper.
Yeah.
Brielle
yep.
is driving the car.
Mm-hmm, that
and
was...
every day, mom, I can't drive this car another day. I'm going to puke. I'm going to vomit. It smells so bad. I'm like, Brielle,
knock
you're not
off.
Getting a Range Rover. You're not getting a Range Rover. Get in the car and drive it. She would run all my errands, right? Because you know when you first get your license, like you just want to drive everywhere. You don't give a shit where you're going. So, mom, it's terrible. I'm telling you guys, it's 100 degrees in Atlanta. It's 2 weeks into when my assistant spilled the milk.
Yeah.
And
we haven't smelled the car. For some reason, I'm like, Brielle, knock it off.
You're
like being
you're
so
just
ridiculous. You're
spoiled. Like, just drive the damn car. Brielle pulls to the back of the, like, where our six-car garage is, basically, underneath the portico, where she doesn't really park the car. She parks it in front. She's like, I'm done. I'm done with this car. I can't breathe. I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, I'm not running your errand.
I'm not doing it. I quit. I'm not doing anything. You smell the car. You drive the car.
I went out there, and I got in the car. I'm like, Brielle, knock it off. I get like in the seat, yo, and
I throw up right now thinking
yeah,
about it.
Like literally was gagging. I said, Brielle, what did you do to this car? She's like, I don't know. It's not me. I didn't do anything. And I'm like, I said, there's a dead animal in here. There's like 30 dead animals in this sucker. There's like a whole rats took over. Like they, I don't know what's been going on in here. So I was like sniffing around, crawling all over the car. I'm like, I think it's down here. It might be up here in the ceiling. Is it in the engine? I finally kind of pinpoint the area and it's like coming from the back seat area.
Forgetting about the milk altogether.
Right.
Like why would we be thinking about milk? That was 2 weeks ago.
No. So I'm like, wow. So I start taking the car apart. Literally, I got the front seat completely out. I unplug it, unbolt it from the frame, take it out. I start peeling up the carpet and you guys, there was curdled milk underneath.
And maggots, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Maggots. Thousands of them. Thousands of maggots underneath. Yep. And still, you could see the milk. It was like sloshing around
Croy.
In between the foam and the carpet and the metal frame. It was, so I vacuumed, I cleaned, I bleached.
I felt so bad for Brielle.
Cloroxed.
Like, I felt terrible. We traded that car in on a Bentley.
Yeah.
And they paid us so well. Croy, so I said, you know what, Croy, I want a fucking Bentley. I just decide one day. I just want this Bentley. And Croy's like, whatever. So we went up to the dealership or whatever, and my guy there, he's the best, and I bought a couple cars from him over the years, and I said I want to trade in this Honda or whatever, and I really didn't give a shit what he gave me, and he gave me like $4,000 over, and I was like, sure, here it is.
Yeah, it went right to auction with 20 air fresheners in
it. Yeah, I mean, horrible, you guys.
Oh man. So if you have a smelly car out there and you're listening to this, send us a note and we'll send you a sorry note.
Yeah. House of Kim at kimzolsiak.com, you guys. You can also call us at 323-213-8100. Okay, so we decide it's time. My straight A student, literally 13 years of television, sacrificed summers, sacrificed holidays, sacrificed a lot to be on television. I know it's a blessing as well, and she does too, but it's demanding when you're a cheerleader, you're on the volleyball team, you're in gymnastics, you're on television, you're trying to keep your grades up.
It's like having a job. Yeah, it really is.
It is a job.
It's a job.
So I don't really know. We didn't get Ariana. Her graduation was weird because of COVID.
It was.
It was on television.
Sad too.
And she didn't even wake up to watch it. Yeah. I cried. She's like, irritated. This is just very terrible. Like 2020 is the dopest year to graduate. I always thought, like, oh my God, Ariana, 2020, like so amazing.
Yeah.
Who would have thought, you guys, honestly? So we didn't really get her a car then. And so because of COVID, I wanted to get Ariana a Range Rover Sport. Brielle had one before, was really, really happy with it. I think it's a perfect car. It's safe. Brielle had that Jeep Wrangler that Croy did all up and everybody wanted to buy. When we posted that car, we had like 400 emails and people wanted to buy it and paid full price for this Jeep that Croy did up for Brielle. I just wanted those red little brakes, red.
Yeah, tow hooks and some.
Yeah, I wanted everything red like with white and black.
Bumper thing. Yeah, just a little.
I just added
a pop
the red.
Of red.
But anyways, I guess everybody liked my taste. So we order Ariana a Range Rover and it's not going to get here. Like they say, like for her birthday, her 19th birthday, it's not going to get here because of COVID. The list is long. Like everything's been kind of delayed. So why are you looking at the. Oh, everything's been delayed. So I kind of realized like, okay, well, I guess we're not going to get the Range Rover for her birthday. I mean, it's not.
Nothing was coming in.
Nothing was coming in. It's not coming
delayed.
In.
Everything
and
was
delayed. And
shut
if
down.
It did come in, it's being stolen in Atlanta anyway. So just forget it.
Yeah.
So for somehow, some way in September, I've had 13 Range Rovers in my lifetime. And so I have a good relationship with Range Rovers. They're one of my favorite cars. And they called me and said, hey, we have a white. I wanted white with white interior, basically. We have a white on white. We have two coming in kind of around October 9th. What do you think? And they sent me pictures of it's like an autobiography edition or whatever.
For the sport, yeah.
For the sport.
I don't know what they call it, the He's something.
You guys, it's unbelievable. The seats have accents. It's like tan with black and like suede steering wheel. Like shit Croy doesn't care about. And I'm like, I'll take it. So you know what though? I wasn't banking on it. I wasn't banking on the car coming. I wasn't banking on it arriving. Like COVID has, as you guys know, fucked up a lot.
Yeah.
So it's like September, I don't know, 30th. And I'm not trying to harass my guy at the dealership, but I'm like, hey, how we looking? He's like, on time. I'm like, okay, buddy. They didn't take a deposit for me. They didn't like ask for, I mean, I guess they know I'm going to show up, right? So he calls. He's like, your car's here. I think we were at the casino or something. Like, because I was so excited. And you guys, I walked into the dealership. First of all, Brielle's nosy ass had to come and Zach. They're so nosy. And I don't trust Brielle without telling her sister. I don't trust Ariana without telling Brielle. So it's like, I try to keep it a secret. But Brielle knows this is huge. I didn't allow this to be posted on social media just out of, you know, like, I don't want it to come across as like boastful. I want Ariana to enjoy it. And so this is why you didn't see any of this. I go and I see the car and it is so much cuter than I ever anticipated. It is, if I had to build another one, it would be exactly this. It was perfect. I felt very blessed, bought the car. The guy told me that five Range Rovers just got stolen.
Out of the lot.
And one of them was filled with Hermes bags and Louis Vuitton. I was like, well, where's that Range Rover? I'll buy that one.
Some guy dressed up as a mechanic. A
mechanic walked into the Range Rover dealership.
Yeah, grabbed the car and just drove it out. And they
drove
didn't realize it.
Drove it off the lot. Like, genius. Fuck.
I don't know about that, but.
He got away with it.
For like 8 hours. They got it again. They got it back.
Well, so the car stays there. I park it in my neighbor's garage. I'm like, hey, Jolene, can I use your garage?
We got to hide it from her.
She's like, yeah, of course, no problem. So I parked it in her garage, thankfully. And I think the kids were over there and we couldn't let Ariana pick them up because we didn't want her to see it and think anything. And Jolene's like, hey, I kind of like this Range Rover here. And
it was a test drive?
Yeah, it was very fun. It was very fun. So I asked Ariana on her actual birthday. I woke her up by playing Happy Birthday, Ariana. If you guys go to your phone on Apple Music or whatever, you can find Happy Birthday, whoever. You can find KJ. You can find anything. I don't know if you can find Croy. But
Kim, Jeff, Jack.
Yeah, you can. So
Betty,
and there's different versions.
Bob.
There's like reggae versions. There's all sorts of
hip-hop.
Fun versions. Hip-hop, yeah.
Yeah.
So I do this for everybody's birthday. I play that in the morning. So anyway, I wake her up by putting that through the whole sound system, right? And so mind you, we didn't, the car had 2 miles on it. Let me tell you how extra Croy is.
Yeah.
The car has 2 miles on it.
I'm extra.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
That's a compliment. I'll take that.
Just wait, yeah. You guys. The car has 2 miles on it. And we like that number. We like the number 2.
Yeah.
So the car is in Buckhead. We have to get it to Buford, which is a good 50 minutes, hour drive.
Good 38, 40 miles.
Yeah. Drive to get the windows tinted. We have one guy we use. He's the best. He's been doing all of our cars for many years. And you can really fuck up window tinting. So we got to get it to Buford, and then we got to get it from Buford to our neighborhood, which is another 40 miles or whatever. Yeah. So my husband pays a fucking tow truck to pick the car up at the dealership and tow truck the damn thing. Yeah. Brandon, my old assistant, Brandon, arranged this whole thing.
Yeah.
I mean, Brandon, he's...
Stick it on a flatbed, and they just drove it all around Atlanta.
I fucking miss Brandon. Yep, got it on a flatbed, drove it up there, got it tinted, flatbedded the thing to Jolene. Jolene's like, there's a tow truck in the driveway. I'm like, just open the fucking garage. Okay, just open the garage. Long story short, it's Saturday morning. I send Ariana to do something. I don't remember what it was. I am standing behind the garage. Like, we have a 4-car garage that faces a 2-car garage, if that makes any sense.
Yep.
You have to come underneath our portico and like...
It's tucked away, a little
parking area. So we have it kind of parked kitty corner with a big red bow on it. But like Ariana, they don't pay attention. They walk so many times from the portico to the front driveway and like they don't look anywhere else. Like, yeah, they're busy.
Giggling, laughing.
They went to pick up her own cake with her boyfriend. And I didn't tell her boyfriend because I know he couldn't keep his damn mouth shut either. So long story short, she comes around the corner. She looks and she's like, wait. For me? And she loses her mind. She's crying. I'm crying. My kid's trainer, Charles, is behind us. I'm like, Charles, come on. We're doing a surprise. Get behind me. And he's like, what the hell is going on? Like, I'm like, Charles, come on. I'm crying. Brielle's crying. It was so incredible. She was so excited. We all got in the car, as many of us that could fit. We drove around the neighborhood. She was crying. I can't believe this is mine. Like, oh my God, I'm so grateful. She so deserved it. It's the best feeling. We felt super, super blessed. I felt really weird about the car, though. Like, I was like anxious. Like, I'm very intuitive, in case you are just now joining us. And I knew something weird was going to happen. You couldn't even guess this if you tried. It's, I don't know, less than 24 hours later. And my phone rings.
So she gets through the day. She drives it around.
She takes her friends to dinner. Yep. She's like screaming, calling me every 5 minutes. I can't believe this is mine. I can't believe, crying. Her makeup streaming down her face for her birthday dinner. I can't believe this is mine. Oh my God, I can't believe this is mine. And so she's a mess. Yeah. Next day, Sunday morning, she leaves to go get a coffee at Starbucks, comes back. On our way back, she's like, Mom. And I knew something was off when I saw her name on my phone.
Yeah.
Mom, a garbage can was in the road and I hit it and my mirror's hanging. Excuse me, Ariana? What do you mean a garbage can was in the road? Mom, it wasn't there. Like, and Croy's like, were you on your phone? She's like, I'm, she couldn't even breathe. I'm so upset. And I was like, Ariana, just get home. She was in our neighborhood. Okay.
Still in our neighborhood.
When I tell you she pulls in and the mirror is hanging, I'm not lying.
I said, are you sure it was a mailbox or it wasn't a
person? I'm sorry. A mailbox?
No, it was a garbage can. I said, are you sure it wasn't like a mailbox stuck in the ground? Mm-hmm. Like, it was hanging. It hit the glass. I mean, you could see where it had like slammed up against the window. Like, she hit it hard.
$3,000 hard.
Yeah.
You know what's fucking shady is that she went to a bunch of different dealerships because Ariana's a penny pincher, which I love about her. Yeah. Classic places. Collision, which they've repaired many of my cars in my lifetime.
There
was a very reasonable price. She went to some Range Rover dealerships. One Range Rover dealership quoted her like $1,500 more than the other. Anyways, it was like a $3,000 job. She had to wait for the mirror to come in. They had to redo the whole motor of the mirror because she broke the motor. I said, you're paying for it. Like, you are paying for your mistake.
Yeah.
She said, okay. God bless her.
But, you know, I think everybody can relate to this. When you get a new car, that first little ding, you know, scratch, dent, it's kind of almost inevitable. Like, I feel like 80% of people.
It happens every time.
I know, like it's because it's so just brand like new. It's Brielle, so clean and slick looking, and it's just like
the deer hit Brielle when she got her Range Rover. She's like, "Mom, the deer just hit me, and my whole front end's messed up." I said, "Wait, the deer hit you? Yeah, the deer just hit me, Brielle. You fucking hit the deer.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
No.
Welcome to 19, sweetie. Yep. Okay, you guys, let's jump to the twins. The following month, I have a birthday. We have a birthday February. We have a birthday in two in May. We have one in August. We have one in September. We have one in October. We have two in November.
Two in September. We have one in January, including people just in and around our house.
Who the fuck is two in September?
Me and Zalma.
Oh, our nanny. Yeah.
Tracy's in January. I was talking
about a kid. Let's jump to the twins. It's their seventh birthday. We've never had a party. Never.
Yeah. No. Not an official party.
We've never had for the boys, we've only had one. No, we've had two.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a lot, you guys, right? And I think the more kids you have,
we definitely celebrate their birthdays. Don't get us wrong; it's family. Oh no, I'm out. Presents,
I'm presents
cake,
in the morning. We go all out for the
twins'
birthday.
But we've
never
done it with their friends.
A bunch of people, and so of course this year I decide with COVID it's time.
Yeah,
like a dumbass.
It's time. Let's throw a party during COVID.
So Jolene, she's my neighbor. I love her. She's one of the only people I love in my neighborhood that I know and hang out with. So she has three kids.
Yeah.
So I invite her to, and then Dr. Scott Dixon, my dry needler, physical therapist, he has twin daughters. You guys might have seen them on my Instagram. They're super cute. And that was it. So this company, and I can't remember the name of them, they were so sweet to whip together this really cute sleeping bag sleepover. They did the girls' hair. They put glitter. They put makeup on. They did nails. They all had customized pajamas, of course, including my boys and all three of my boys. Cash had just had surgery 3 days before. Mm-hmm. So it was a little rough for Cash, but he hung in there. It was fun. They stayed up so late. KJ even got to the point where he was reading them a book.
He's like, dude, we got to go to bed. Everybody lay down.
Yeah, go to bed.
9 years old, he's telling everybody, go to bed. Down. We're going to bed.
Yep.
This party's over.
Yeah. KJ reads, not working, Croy steps in and reads them a book for Jolene's kids were out.
So here's my question, right? At a birthday party, at what level can you, not discipline, but kind of be, I guess, strict with a kid that's not yours? Can you say, hey, look, it's bedtime, dude. Lay down. Or do you have to come on, we need to go to bed? Do you have to be sweet about it? Where do you guys draw the line being stern with a kid that's not yours? Because you don't want them to be like, he was mean to me, you know, and what'd you do to my kid? And have all this big old trauma thing, you know, and but you also too, dude, it's time to go to bed. I need to go to bed.
Our kids are on very tight schedules or they go to bed at, you know,
the
8
same
o'clock.
Schedule every day.
Every day. They get up every morning at the same time. They have a very strict routine. Having a baby in 11, 1 and 12 and 2 and 13, you have to have a very tight schedule. And it's been that way from the jump. It has to be. So Jolene's kids were out cold. I think the twins were up a little bit later. Misbehaving. Yeah. Croy read them a book.
How about I read them three books?
Almost an hour. It's 12:30. I'm like, Croy, I'm going to bed. I'm sorry. Good night. Thank you for being dad of the year. You're the best. Good night.
I said, what do you want me to do? They're going to wake up or they're going to come try to find us if they're like, because they're going to be scared.
We slept on the couch because we had them in the whole living room area. And so we had them, and they had their own customized, like I said, sleeping bags and pillows and all this fun stuff. And so we stayed on the couch right by them so that if they got up, we were there.
Yeah.
It's not happening ever again.
No. It was a fun experience, but I would really love to know. Text us, call in, send us an email.
You're curious as shit.
I really am.
Podcast.
How do you handle that situation? I want to know.
I would have been like, good night. Turn the lights off. Good night, sweetie.
I did. I turned them off. They were the ones turning them on. They had these little
lanterns.
Yeah, lanterns that could open up. And so all you would see is click, 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 click. I'm telling you, lights on,
good
lights
night,
off.
Good night, Croy. You're doing great, sweetie. You're doing great. Never again, okay?
Oh, man.
So the twins had a great time. The next morning, they're up at 5:30, okay? Went to bed at 12:30, got up at 5:30. I said, Croy, I'm for real done. This is just crazy. And one of them, she's so cute, so feisty. She's like, Miss Kim? And I was like, yes. She's like, I'll take Fruity Pebbles. I said, oh, okay. So I go into the pantry and I'm looking around and we have 90 boxes of cereal and no Fruity Pebbles. I was like, oh, I'm sorry, sweetie. We don't have any. She's like, why don't you look right there? And she points to like the shelf above. We have so many boxes of cereal that it's now on top of that. And I said, oh, okay. So I poured him in the paper bowl and she's like, and no milk. I said, okay, sweetie. And she's just shoveling dry cereal into her mouth. And I was like, whatever works, man.
She knows what she wants.
Yeah. You know, girl after my own heart.
Don't eat something you don't like.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump into Cash. As you know, in 2017, he was bit by our dog, Sin. And when he was bit, his face was broken. He was bit, not attacked. I'm going to make that clear. It was one bite. It wasn't like an attack or anything like that. It was one bite. His face was that bone. His cheekbone, I guess, was broken.
Yeah, the orbital bone.
Yeah. Bone. Mm-hmm. There you go. The swelling was so severe by the time he ended up in the OR. We knew Dr. Joseph Williams, the best, and the eye doctor said that more than likely in the future, we may have to like shave that bone down. We put it back together. We did the best we could. And we can revisit this in the future.
Yeah, once everything calms down and settles down, we can see and make sure that things are put back together perfectly, 99.9% perfect.
Right. So Cash healed. Time went on. We all healed, we thought. And I went to Dr. Joseph Williams back in, he's the chief of plastic surgery at the Scottish Rite.
Choa, yeah.
In Choa, basically here, I think in Atlanta in general. Yeah. He's one of the top pediatric plastic surgeons. It's funny, Brielle's friend does plates for like people's mouths, like jaw, people that break their jaws and all that good stuff. And when when he was at a wedding with Brielle, like shortly after, 3 days after Cash's surgery, he's like, I hope to God he went to Joseph Williams or the guy that did Kaya's lip when she slipped on the step there.
Yeah, both of them are.
I can't think of his name right now.
I think he's an intern.
He's done now. No, he was an intern. Yeah, he's amazing. He came in and saw us as well. But anyways, we're very blessed. What do you think? I think the bone is a little bit raised. I think he has some scar tissue around the inner corner of his eye, which would prevent the white part of his eye like showing as much as it should.
So they didn't look even.
Yeah, they didn't look even. Yeah. And you know, he said, you know what, Kim? I always say to my doctors, like, if this was your son, what would you do? And he said, I think I would do it. That's all he had to say. I said, done. So I think we talked about, okay, let's go. Maybe we didn't want to do it in the summer because you can't swim for 6 weeks because of stitches and all that good stuff. So I knew I didn't want to do that. So I was trying to figure out, should we knock it out in March? And I think that was kind of our plan. We were going to do it in March. Obviously with COVID, that halted everything. So they called me in September and said, hey, we're able to do surgeries. You know, what do you think? But Cash had to be out of school for 2 weeks with all this kind of reconstructive work.
Yeah.
And
they're shaving the face bone. You know, it's a lot. It's intense. It's
they're going through the mouth.
Yeah, yeah.
They're reconstructing basically the corner of his eye and all that scar tissue, fixing the lip, and some like tissue that's excess tissue that's there and making it more even. It's a lot. It wasn't just a minor procedure.
Yeah,
I said, you know what? Let me figure this out with his teacher. He's gonna miss 2 weeks. I'm fine with the 2 weeks. Like Cash is in third grade. Corey's not fine with the 2 weeks. Like, I'm fine. Like, they're in school. Like, they have their whole life to be in school. Like,
well, it right now is crucial, in my opinion, because it's the foundation of their learning platform. I know. You say, well, let's take them out for ice cream and cheeseburgers.
No,
and
like, I feel like maybe kidding. Sometimes we should let them, well, not now, but we should, like, I used to take the girls, like, hey, you guys, guess what? They would get up for school. The alarm would go off. I'm like, we're not going to school today. We're going to the movies. I hate the fucking movies. But I would take them to the movies. Like, I think that you should.
That's really cute. Like, and it is sweet, but
they'll never forget it. Like, they have a million days of school.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. As long as we're not, you know, missing something
Corey's,
important.
Corey's,
I know. Just like Mr. I appreciate boring it. And rigid.
No. No, you're not boring and rigid. You're just very, there's like, you know, why are they eating a cookie? Well, because it's a cookie. Like, who cares? Corey's like, it's a lot of sugar.
Well, when it's the fourth cookie.
That's like, a problem too. Yeah. Anyways, okay. So I say, listen, let's do it right before Thanksgiving, basically, and give him like that week. He has that week off of Thanksgiving. So let's do it then. Okay. We're all prepared. We all know what's going to happen. I don't really tell Cash. Now, Cash himself has asked me many times, when am I having my surgery, Mom? He would look in the mirror, when am I having my surgery, Mom? Cash is a Leo. He's very cute. He's very into his hair. He has great taste in clothes. He just has great taste in general.
Yeah.
And he's a little vain. I don't know where he gets it from. but he's vain. Maybe his daddy.
Yep, right here.
So I said, finally, I think it was like November 19th. I don't remember the day exactly. I don't want to ever remember the day. And so every day he's like, Mom, 10 more days, 7 more days, 6 more days, 5 more days. Like, he was really into it.
Yeah.
And so, and he loves Dr. Williams and he trusts him, which is like an amazing feeling for your child to like trust their doctor. And we do too. It's really weird. We show up at the hospital that morning. Only one parent could go back. So both parents were allowed in to like the pre-op room where they do like the vitals and they get everything going. Cash has a little bit of asthma. They gave him a breathing treatment real quick just to make sure he was good. And then only one parent can go back while they put him to sleep. Well, I don't want to fucking see that anyway. I'm not interested. I don't want to see that. So I am taken to like,
like a waiting room.
Like a waiting room, like yeah, where he'll area. Recover, where he'll be discharged and recovered.
Yeah.
Here's the twist, you guys. I, when Cash was bit the first time in 2017, I had to do Watch What Happens Live. And I was supposed to be on the next flight. So Cash was bit like on a Saturday evening. And I was taking a very early flight out to go to New York City to do Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. This time, Cash was having surgery and I had to be home by 4 o'clock to get my makeup and hair done and like rush to be on a pre-tape with Andy Cohen.
Yeah.
So it was very, very difficult for me.
Triggering.
It was
almost,
very,
you know?
Like, triggering. Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Too coincidental, too, yeah. Like, same
it
situation.
Too much.
It was
definitely too
like,
much.
Eerie. No.
Yeah. So.
It started the whole thing, I think.
Croy goes back with him. He goes to sleep, which makes my stomach hurt thinking about it. And then we're in the waiting room. And.
Which is, you know, I don't know if anybody's ever experienced that, but it's not. It's not a bad thing. It's not a good thing. It's really kind of like, you can't really describe it.
Putting him to sleep? I want to go to sleep right now. Put me to sleep.
Watching something leave your child. It's kind of creepy. It's like really creepy. And he was holding my hand and they.
Now listen, let me go back to this one thing right here. When Cash was bit by the dog. The doctors came in and said basically like, you guys, this is major. He's going to surgery like now. And I could barely breathe, hyperventilating. It was absolutely traumatizing. Croy, I would have to leave the room. I never saw my son until about an hour after he was put back together. And that took me an hour to remove this tissue that I was like, Croy, you have to keep that there. Like, I emotionally can't handle it. Well, they said, we're going to take him through these double doors and he's going to go back into the OR. I'm fine, like mentally, like I'm just so fucked up and so upset and so in shock that I can barely like process what they're saying. As they're taking Cash back on this bed, Croy's yelling, Cash, I'm right here. I'm right here. I don't want to cry. Yeah. You know, Cash, I'm right here. Daddy's right here. And the nurses are crying. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah,
like,
because they wouldn't let me go back.
They wouldn't let him go back. And Cash is like, Daddy, like scared, right? Like scared to death.
Yeah.
And so I will never forget that the rest of my life. I wish I could. And the nurses, tears are streaming down their face. And I'm like, Jesus, like terrible. So this time, the cool thing I thought was like, okay, cool. Like Croy can go back there with him and, you know, he can like be with his dad, because there's no way in hell that I could have done it. I don't want to see that. It freaks me out. I don't want to do it. Croy comes to the room. So what's weird is the doctor, I know I'm so mad I can't think of his name. The plastic surgeon, Kaya had fallen on the step and like had a couple stitches, like 3 stitches or something put in her lip. And it was like literally in her lip line. So the doctor that sewed her kind of back up came in and he's like, you know, how's Kaya? Basically, I'm like, she's great. You did such a great job. And like, we were just kind of talking a little bit. I'm waiting on Croy to come back. He shows up back in the room a few minutes later and we're waiting. I'm talking to my girlfriends. I'm on Instagram. I'm trying to like stay busy, but my stomach hurts. Like this brings back terrible memories, right?
Yeah.
The memories that I thought I know I'll never forget, but memories that I thought maybe I buried or whatever.
Had handled or worked through. And
there's no fucking working through anything like this, I don't think. So Cash gets wheeled into the room. And I just can't handle it. Croy can't really handle it. It's not good. Like, he's asleep, like kind of coming out of the anesthesia.
He's not with it yet.
Yeah. And so Croy and I just lose it. Like, bad memories, man, like really bad memories. And then Cash kind of wakes up, and Cash is big. Cash is 140 pounds. Okay. He weighs as much as me. I weigh a little more now, assholes. But anyway, my OBGYN appointment last week, I was like, can I put my wig, my sneakers and all my clothes on the scale, Corey? Cause I don't think I weigh this much, but anyway, so Cash kind of comes to or whatever, and his stomach hurts really bad. And I'm just like panicking. I'm like, nurse, I'm fanning him. I'm like opening the door. I'm making him smell alcohol wipes. Like, I just can't handle it. Mothers, you know what I'm saying? Like, your heart, I would trade places with him in a New York second. And so Corey, I'm like, Corey, get him. Like, lift him up. Let him sit up. He wants to move his feet. Like, he's a big dude. Like, what am I going to do? You know, right. We get him situated. I have to go. I have to leave and get home. Because I have to do Andy Cohen, and like, I can't miss this. So I'm like, Corey, are you good? And my nanny, who's been with us for 9 years, I'm like, Zalma, like, you know, I think she came with me, right? Yeah, she came with me, home with me.
Yeah.
So Zach happened to be downtown. I said, Zach, come pick me up at the hospital right now. I got to get home. So Zach came and got me and brought me home.
Right before you left, though, we had given him some Zofran to handle some of the nausea, and he had fallen asleep, and it was great because he just needed to sleep it off, you know? So
he was, what I know about anesthesia is it's a pretty good indicator of how you'll behave in the future with alcohol.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, when I get out of
How was that with anesthesia? Was I around? Were you around?
I was 7 months pregnant with twins, and my hoo-ha hurt so bad. You were pissed I wouldn't stay the night. I'm like, I can't
Of course.
Where am I going to sleep with twins?
I woke up.
You were kind of funny.
Oh.
Yeah, like
am I
nothing
funny
happened.
Drunk?
Yeah, he kind of are. Yeah.
I'm a funny guy.
Yeah, but you get a little carried away, Croy, okay?
Oh, okay.
At times.
My jokes aren't funny?
No, they're funny. my nose is running. Anyways, so I do Andy Cohen. Obviously, I'm not saying anything. I've realized a long time ago to do things and share later. And so I get through Andy Cohen. I'm like really pressed. Cash gets home. He's on the couch. It's rough, man. It's just rough.
Yeah, he's uncomfortable. It's
just rough. Yeah. Zalma's crying.
Sore.
It's just.
He's got
terrible.
Bandages
so,
on his face.
Yeah, he's like his whole head is wrapped up.
Looks real similar to
what happened the first time.
Yeah.
So we have to sleep on the couch. So we have like an L-shaped couch. And so we have to sleep with him because he can't, like, same thing as the dog bite.
Yeah.
Initially is that he couldn't, he was so young. He had that IV on a board in his arm. So his hand wouldn't like move around too much. And we had to hold his hand in his sleep and he'd get pissed off because he couldn't roll over. And the same blanket he had then he still has today.
Yeah.
And so I'd have to keep him up at night and whatever. It was rough. The next morning he's just, I mean, it's terrible. It's not good. I'm in tears. I cry the entire day. I cry so much. I said to my assistant, who's only been with us at this point a month and a half, I'm sorry. Like, she's like, it's okay. It's your baby, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm really proud of you for doing this, you know, surgery. And she told me a personal story of somebody that she knows that didn't have this corrective surgery and really wishes that they did. And so that kind of comforted me a little bit. I get online and I'm like a get well basket. I didn't give a shit what it costs, what the hell was in it. And Cash.
He's trying to lift his spirits.
Cash was going to be able to play Fortnite at Christmas. So this is like a month before. And I had a couple gift cards that I had bought that I was going to stick in their stockings. Like, surprise, Cash, you can play Fortnite. And I said to my assistant, could you please go upstairs and grab one of the Fortnite cards? Like, I said, Corey, like, Cash is crying. He's pissed off. Why did I have to do this? He's not in a good place.
Yeah. Yeah, it brought him back too, I think, real quick.
Well, when we woke up, what I failed to mention, and we'll go back, is when he woke up, there was quite a bit of blood on all of the wrappings and the gauze. So we had to go to the plastic surgeon that morning, back to the plastic surgeon just to make sure everything was okay. It was okay. Only one parent's allowed in. Who's going to go? Croy. Kim can't handle it. I'm a nurse, worked as one for many years, could deal with anybody else's bloods, but probably my husband and definitely my children. So Corey goes inside. I'm in the car. Now, Corey's not big on like answering the phone. Like, he just like doesn't know where his phone is. It doesn't fucking, it's not on. Like, it drives me up a wall.
Yeah.
So he doesn't FaceTime me. I'm like, FaceTime me when the doctor comes in. I want to know if everything's okay. Doesn't FaceTime me. I don't hear shit. I see them walking towards me or whatever. So I'm like eager, like, everything okay? Like, and he's like, yeah, everything's okay. So Cash goes to get in the back seat of our Escalade, right? So picture Croy opening the door. I'm like, I'm a fucking frazzled mess. I don't even want Cash in the car on the road. It's like having a newborn baby when you first have your baby. You know, like, don't want him in the car. You think everybody's out to hit you kind of thing. The same thing with Cash. And so I'm just sitting there like quietly, like my heart's racing. I'm ready to get home. And I turn around and Croy and Cash are crying together in the back seat, tears streaming down their face. And I'm like, I can't handle this. I text my spiritual counselor like, Angie, please, I can't handle this. Like, help me. Like, I can't handle this. And so I jumped in the driver's seat. I said, I'm going to fucking drive home. Like, I got this. Let's get the hell out of here. So that crushed me. I don't know what.
Well, you know, he saw himself. He hadn't really looked in the mirror, and they removed some of the bandages to take a look at things, and it just was hard for him. You know, he
I said, why did you let him look in the mirror? And he's like, Kim, there was mirrors everywhere. Like, there was no.
I didn't have an option. It happened, you know, and he tried so hard when it initially happened. His eye was so swollen.
That's terrible.
When it originally happened, he couldn't see out of it for weeks.
When it first happened, he would. It was a kind of a joke, not a joke, but he would open one corner of his eyes like, "Dad, I can see you." And it was like he tried so hard to get his eye open. It took 7 weeks before his eye officially opened.
Yeah, he was so scared that he wasn't going to be able to see out of that eye again. And I kept saying, you know, the doctors looked at it. Nothing's wrong with it. You will be able to see. I promise.
Now, when he first had the surgery and first got bit, we didn't know if he'd ever see again.
We didn't for about 8 hours for that whole day. We thought he had lost an eye, or had been damaged to the point of not being able to see. But so I think,
and we still weren't sure afterwards. We had a couple weeks to where we would, if the bone, your eyeball floats in that orbital bone, and so
it could sink in,
it could do a whole bunch of things. I've never prayed so hard in all my life. Thank you, God.
Yep. In that moment, I watched the incident happen. You know, I was mm-hmm. I was right there on the scene within. I mean, I saw his face within 10 seconds of it being a bit. He was screaming. I've never heard a child ever do anything like that, you know? And so I think right there in that moment, we were both just sad and afraid and over it.
Over it.
You get that waterfall of emotions that you had really worked hard to kind of move past, and he was just sad, you know, and he was scared, and I don't know, I've never felt that kind of emotion from somebody else, even though part of it was my own emotion. I felt like I was so connected to him that I could feel what he was feeling, and it was like, you know, it's like scared innocent child fear, you know. I don't know, it's just
horrible.
I hope, and nobody ever has to experience that. It's horrible. Terrible.
It is
terrible.
So back to the get well basket. I order a fucking basket.
We both needed that.
I don't even know what the hell was in it. Popcorn, M&M. I didn't give a shit.
Skittles, M&Ms, licorice.
So when this first happened to Cash, a lot of my friends, Jeff Dollar, Sari, a lot of my friends sent Spider-Man over here, and that really brightened his day. Right. Well, Cash is a little old for that now, and so the get well basket, right? It's on its way. This company here in Atlanta was so sweet. Like I basically rushed it, called them up, please get it here. I need it today, like now. It was here within an hour and 30 minutes. So on top of that, I said to my assistant, can you go get this Fortnite card? Like I'm going to let Cash pay Fortnite. It's a month before Christmas. I have her put it in a stocking that Gift Wrap My Face had personally made for each one of us. It had our name on it. And I put it in Cash's stocking. And so Nikki, our assistant, put the card inside the stocking and rang the doorbell, left the stocking on the door. And I was like, Cash, I think somebody's here. And so he ran down there and it was a Fortnite card. And so he was like, Dad, so you guys, I have these things for your face where it's complete ice. Like the whole thing is like a jelly ice mask for your whole face. Not just your eyes, your whole fucking face.
Well, and it leaves your eyes open.
It leaves your eyes open and your nose and your mouth. And everything. So it straps Velcro around your head. I don't even know why I have this thing. I haven't had a facelift yet. I'm gonna in the future.
You have every product ever made.
Yeah, I just buy shit for any reason. So Cash gets upstairs and Croy's like, we're ready to play Fortnite. Cash is over the moon. Okay. In the interim, I'm outside on my patio. My friend Gio, I think his name's Gio Training on Instagram. Yeah. He's a huge trainer. He trains a lot of UFC fighters. We've been following each other for like 5 years. I was actually going to fly him out here for Croy during the football season to have him come out here for a couple weeks, get Croy really prepped for the season. Really good dude. And, well, John Jones and his wife, we went to their fight a couple years ago, and then his wife and I started talking, and John Jones, for Cash's birthday, sent him a video, and Cash loves UFC. He loves John Jones and Conor McGregor. John Jones sent him a video for his birthday. Mm-hmm. Gio saw it and was like, oh my God, my best friend's manager for Conor McGregor. I don't know why. Of course I fucking remember that, right? Like, who wouldn't? I step outside. One day I'll play it for you guys. I step outside and I leave Gio this message on my patio by myself. I'm like, hey, Gio, it's Kim. I'm really embarrassed to ask you this question. And I start crying. I fucking lose it. I don't even know if he could understand me. One day we'll have to bring him on here and see what he thought really about it. But I said, like, my son's having a really hard time. He just had major reconstructive surgery yesterday. Like, we're all having a hard time. This is not what I expected. He loves Conor McGregor. If there's any way your friend could get a video from him, that'd be really fucking amazing. Gio writes back and says, yeah, of course, no problem. I'll do my best. And I was like, geez. And I said, I'm so embarrassed that I'm crying. He's like, don't even worry about it. I totally get it, right? And so that was that. I kind of like moved on from that. And he texted me back and said that he was basically like training super hard for his fight and all this good stuff, but he'd have it to me in you know, a little while. It wasn't going to be that day is my point. Long story short, I got a text message from Gio. And I knew when I opened the message, I knew when I saw his name on my screen that I had something in my, I knew what it was.
Yeah.
I was sitting at the bar in my kitchen and I'm going to play it for you guys. And Tracy was in front of me and I played it, but like I was listening to it more so than watching it. And I just was bawling my eyes. Tracy's like, are you okay? What's wrong? What's wrong? She started panicking. I was like, Tracy, I can't even breathe right now. And this is Conor McGregor's message to Cash.
Cash, what's up, my man? The notorious Conor McGregor here. Just getting on to give you a shout out. I heard you had a match with a dog and you won. So congratulations on that victory. I plan on securing my own victory January 23rd. I'm here now, isolated away, getting my walk in. Taking inspiration from your victory, Cash, all right? Thank you so much and congratulations on the win. My man, let's go, Cash.
Okay. Of course you're going to cry, right? Because not only was like Conor saying hi to Cash, but he was like, was so inspirational. Like his message.
Yeah.
Is unbelievable to me, was unbelievable to me. Before I told anyone in the house at that moment, I played it three times and was like, holy shit.
Yeah. I don't even know what's really cool. I think what separates, again, people who kind of, just are on another level of success and vibration success, yeah. and just awesomeness. They don't even necessarily know that they're doing it, but they can connect in a way that is meaningful, you know, and he really connected in a way that was meaningful just because he knew the situation from probably a quick conversation and knew what it would meant. Or knew what that would mean to an 8-year-old boy.
It changed Cash. Changed me and Croy. It changed my entire household.
Yeah.
I think I said to Croy, I'm trying to get a video from Conor McGregor. I didn't really tell anybody because I don't want anybody to bank on shit and then it not happen. But I think at one point I did say, oh, I'm working on getting a video for Cash or whatever.
Yeah.
So I went to Croy and I said, Croy, Conor left or sent me a message for Cash. And of course I'm crying. And then I was like, Cash, come down. No, Brielle, maybe she videotaped it.
Maybe.
I wish I videotaped it myself. I need to ask Brielle. But I played the video, and Cash's little face on one side is still a little swollen, pretty swollen. So as he's smiling, it's like only showing half his teeth on one side. Yeah. And his eyes were as big as my ass, you guys. Yeah. Like, oh my God, this is unbelievable.
Yeah, he's like, this dude say my name. Like, what?
He
what
ran up to his nanny, who he loves to death. Yeah. And like I said, they've been together since he was 2 weeks old or whatever. And told her all about it. He was like over the moon. It's changed the entire energy indefinitely, I feel like, from this situation. We just were like over the moon. I don't even know how to like thank Gio for that or even Conor in general. Like, you know, I'll do cameos for people like happy anniversaries or happy birthday or whatever. And I try to make them as meaningful as possible. And I'm not even on Connor's level. And I feel like just to take the time to change the life of an 8-year-old boy who's been through some pretty serious shit, just changed my, I love Connor anyway. I love how arrogant Connor appears.
It's not arrogance though. It's, I mean,
it's like confidence, like, maybe, yeah, you want to say?
It's like, it flirts with that line of confidence and arrogance. Sometimes he is, sometimes he's confident. It's his charisma. It's his confidence.
I'm getting
it's
really pissed that he didn't win the fight just now.
Man.
Like, I'm not affected by many things. Like, I'm always like the UFC, when we watched John Jones, I think he broke his leg that night or whatever. It was pretty serious. Or knee. Mm-hmm. It was pretty serious, right? Mm-hmm. I had to turn away and not look. Bothered me greatly. And then this Connor fight, like, my heart hurt. Like, I think it probably hurt 10 times worse because of the video he sent to Cash in my mind. Cash and KJ stayed up for it, and we all did. And we were like, I think we all, Connor, that message alone should just kind of show you, like, it wasn't some bullshit. Like, hey, Cash, it's Connor McGregor, just wishing you the best, man. That's it. It wasn't that. Mm-hmm. It was so much deeper than that. And the message Cash will carry with him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And I am forever thankful for you, Gio. His Instagram is Gio Training. His name is Michael Giovanni Riviera. He's a beast, and just so sweet, so kind. So we've had, like, so positive. Like, I am thankful every day for so many things in my life. Every day, there's always something, like I said, to be thankful for, right? Even if you feel fat, or you're in an argument with your partner, or your kids, you got a call from your kid's teacher, whatever the case may be, there's always something to be thankful for. I will forever be grateful for this message, because I saw a complete turnaround in my own son from a message from somebody that really, his dad's pretty dope too to him. So, like, if Corey tells him it's going to be okay, he's like, okay, it's going to be okay. I think his dad's his real star, followed by John Jones and Conor McGregor. But I mean,
Conor McGregor, that's another level to me.
And
that's okay. I mean, I had heroes. Everybody has heroes.
Everybody has heroes, you know, yeah. It's I think okay. that...
we all serve a purpose in each other's lives. And
sometimes being in the public eye comes with a lot. It comes with a lot of stuff that Bert, who I never really explained who he was on last week's episode. Yeah. Bert, he's in the Hall of Fame of radio. He's been on, I can tell you all the different radio stations because I listen to him every single morning for a gazillion years. I've been on his show when Housewives started. I remember going in the studio, which no longer happens. But Bert is like one of the top, I believe, like, you don't call him a DJ, like
no,
radio host.
Yeah,
morning show host, whatever, like top morning show. He's a beast, right? I said something to him when we switched platforms and are back, and he's our, not guide, but like he's the best.
Kind of like I guess you call him a coach.
Yeah, like coach. He's a radio host coach. Like, yeah. he helps us better our podcast, right?
Yep.
And I said to him a couple weeks ago, you know what, Bert? Like, sometimes I don't share as much as I want to share with everyone because I feel like people slam the shit out of me, meaning, okay, I post on my Instagram, Ariana got a brand new car, you guys. She's so excited. And then, of course, she hits a fucking garbage can. Right.
Kaboom.
Which I can't blame on because I didn't post. I think Brielle, I think they did on close friends, which maybe. Our close friends slam us. Sure. But that's just an example to give you guys what I mean when I say slam. And Bert's like, Kim, like, you're going to let the 100 people or whatever it is affect your millions of followers? Like, fuck no. And that's why I'm probably being so open on this podcast. It still makes me a little anxious. I still know that I have the power inside of my own body to keep my own family strong. I can't relate to people being envious and jealous. I want to see everyone grow, rise, live their dream, be their best. I genuinely want that for people, so I can't relate to people that don't. But because Bert said that to me, I never would have shared this story about Cash and get so personal with you guys. But I think this is what has made me so successful and my family so successful. I did start to divert, I think, from that on the podcast because it got so crazy. It got so nuts with haters and like their obsession with our family that also kind of stopped me from sharing things. But I'm not fucking doing that anymore because I have millions of amazing followers compared to the idiots. So thank you, Bert, for, I guess,
bringing that picture to focus.
Yeah, to focus, because I was really shut down from sharing, and I hate that. Like, we all go through shit. Nobody's life is perfect. This is a really big story for my family that, I'll tell you, not only affected Croy and I, but KJ, never once in the 10 to 14 days after Cash's surgery ever asked to play Fortnite.
No, he took over KJ's Xbox and was...
He took over KJ's Xbox and KJ never once asked to play. Yeah. And Croy overheard. So I didn't... I left this out and I forgot. So the day that I ordered the Get Well basket, gave him the Fortnite card, Charles, it's their boxing instructor that comes, their trainer, and he comes to the door and I look at him. He's got to think I'm fucking nuts. I said, Charles, could you please tell Cash, like, he looks okay. Like, I'm crying my eyes. He's like, yeah, Kim, of course. Like, the nicest guy ever. He's here 3 days a week. He trains all the littles. He puts up with their shit. He makes them work hard. Like, he's a beast. He's trained and boxed with some of the biggest celebrities. Like, he's the best. I still wonder what he thinks about me that day. But I'm like, please, could you just, like, tell Cash, like, you're kick-ass. Like, you look good, man. Everything's going to be okay. He's like, you got it. He went upstairs and was like, my man, like, Cash, what's up? Like, you look great, man. What's up? Like, oh, you're playing Fortnite. Like, I don't know. We just have the best. It really, we have the best people around us. Yeah. Like, literally have the best people around us. Mm. I'm crying. My assistant's like, so for Salty K, and I'm crying. She's like, just never mind. Don't worry about it. We can do this next week. Not a problem. A total disaster. But anyways, so I'm begging Charles. I'm crying. I'm walking Charles from the front door basically to where, because usually he goes down to the gym with the boys. So I'm like walking him kind of upstairs crying my eyes out. And this guy's got to be like, what the fuck? And I kind of get him up the stairs or whatever. So I leave and I'm back in my office crying, like just bawling my eyes out. And Croy hears this. I wasn't around for this. I was in my office crying. And Croy overheard KJ say, I don't remember exactly how he said it.
He says, you know, Charles, it's been hard for Cash, and we're all going to get through it though.
It makes me very sad though that Cash is so sad.
Yeah.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
And Croy was like, man, that's tough.
Yeah.
So KJ was also there when Cash was.
Yeah, he was. He witnessed it and was right there.
I
don't know if he'll ever forget that. I'll have to ask him when he's like 18, 19 years old if he can describe what he witnessed.
I think that we need like a PTSD coach to coach our entire family.
Yeah. I mean,
I'll never forget the scream of Cam, and I'll never forget KJ running into the bathroom and hiding under my clothes in my closet that were hanging.
Yeah.
And he said, Sin, Sin, Sin. And I thought Sin got hit by a car. I'll never forget that as long as I live. It haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
Croy just recently was like, Kim? Yeah. He's like, can you come here? And I was like, Jesus, fuck. Like, what the fuck? I flew off the table and I went in there and he just wanted me to like rehearse these lines with all these commercials he did today. And I was like, Jesus, fuck. Like, I was so pissed. Like, that was one of the first times since that incident that it kind of like triggered something inside of me. I feel like we got kind of off on a tangent.
We did.
I think that you guys can...
I hope you can relate.
Appreciate.
I hope you can pull something from that. If you're going through a tough time, there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. We see our light much brighter than we did when we were going through it. It was tough. It really was. And
I don't think we'll ever get over it. I think we have the best plastic surgeon ever. He's seen Cash a few times. And I think, I don't know, you know, I wonder like what a PTSD or like a therapist would help you get over. Is it the feeling of the shock of the, what triggers me is Croy saying, Kim, I've never heard it quite that way ever in the 11 years we've been together. Do they help you get over that? Like, I think I have a lot of PTSD from certain situations in my life, like going through the windshield of a car and just whatever, certain things. But I think this is probably holds the candle to, you know, for everything. I think it's definitely significant. So we'll have to find out in the future.
Yeah.
I think, and visit it. Something to kind of let go, because I have researched things that kind of bog your body down over time, and PTSD is a big one.
It is.
Where you get back pain from it. Trauma creates back pain and, you know, shoulder pain and migraines and all these other things. So it's not just like having therapy to get through the actual situation and things that trigger you. It's things that affect your body physically until you're able to let them go. And so I think, too, Cash has no fear of animals, thank God. We I think Cash is a child, you know?
Yeah.
I think that Cash is a child, but I think it brought back memories for all of us. It taught us that, like, yeah, we're not okay. We're not okay with the situation. Like, we're strong, we're tough, we're great, we're united as a family, as the Beermans, but
we're human.
We're human, yeah.
And sometimes we try to, as people, put on this tough armor and be more than human. We have to be superhuman, especially for our kids, right? And it's okay to be human, feel that, just work through it, and don't push those emotions away. Just
you have
work
to feel.
If yeah, you do.
The greatest. So I have had so many DMs about this. The books that I was talking about on Audible are the newest one is The Greatest Secret. The word awareness is used in that book 1,000 million trillion times. If you're listening to it, it's like, okay, I get it, right? Awareness. But a big thing is like processing your feelings. I'm one to just like push them down and move on, right? But as you get older, it gets harder, I feel like, to do that. I've always been a little feisty. But I feel like now, I feel like it's that northern, I think, stuff. I said to Corey, like, we're feisty in the north.
Blood.
He's like, I'm from the north.
That's just your blood.
And I was like, Montana and New York, Connecticut are not the same, baby. But I think that I'm like mastered pushing those feelings down. But when it comes to my kids, it's something that like you have to cope with and deal with. I met a rheumatologist in LA when I was dealing with like, why am I feeling all this way? Why am I so bad? And he's like, I think you need to like see my daughter. She's a PTSD specialist here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And I think that that would probably get rid of your migraines kind of thing. And it really made me think, and it still has me thinking. And that was back in probably December of 2019. So what I've realized too, you guys, we were hesitant on sharing this story publicly on Bravo. Bravo was super cooperative. They didn't have a choice. I mean, we were in the hospital for 5 days, four nights, 5 days, major steroids, antibiotics, the whole nine yards. Corey and I, after much consideration, decided to share the story publicly because we have a dog that was heavily trained and this situation happened. A dog is a dog at the end of the day. Like if like your child climbing on the dog and pulling its tail, which Cash was not doing, but I'm just saying like I'm thinking of toddlers and you know, infants like crawling on the dog and pulling its tail, like you want somebody to pull your hair. Like a dog is a dog, no matter how big or how small. I've known of a chihuahua biting a 2-year-old and biting a huge part of their face, way worse than what Cash dealt with.
Yeah.
So a dog is a dog. Just keep that in the back of your mind. I don't care how great you think your dog is. We spend thousands of dollars a year to have our dogs heavily trained from the beginning, from when we got them, and this situation still happened.
Yeah, I mean,
you can never be too sure.
Yeah,
it's a dog. It's an animal. It's
right.
An animal.
Well, and compare it to a human.
A human. Right.
You could have the most positive and happy person on a daily basis that you deal with at work, but some days they just have bad days, right? Mm-hmm. Like nobody's perfect. Nobody has great days 100% of the time. Your dog can be the laziest, happiest, wag its tail dog. But if its stomach hurt, if it has a hangnail, if it's got a headache, whatever, it's going to be irritated.
I mean, you probably knew this, right?
But
that what you're saying. Like I
really didn't think of it like that. I mean, yes, common sense kind of thinks like that, but you still expect the dog to, no matter what they feel, they just have to behave, right?
They like have to
all,
be a dog.
We all kind of, I think we
you don't fucking behave.
Right, well, if we train the dog and it has its cues and it's supposed to sit and stay in its area, we all kind of just like expect it to always be perfect, like a stuffed animal.
Right.
And they're not. They have feelings, they have irritations, they have pains, they have...
We didn't know all of this. We dealt with some of the biggest psychologists, dog trainers, they explained all of this to us.
Yeah.
And we have changed a lot of things. Obviously, you can tune into Don't Be Tardy, I guess, 3 years ago or whatever and see the whole thing. But, you know, a dog's a dog. An animal's an animal.
Yeah.
And they're unpredictable no matter what. No matter how heavily trained they are, no matter what, a dog is a dog. And that's that. I mean,
so if you commit to having one, which is fantastic, they are great tools to help your kids understand compassion and responsibility and all those things. But you just need to be aware. You need to be aware of the animal at all times, how it's feeling, how it's reacting, how it's behaving, because it may not feel good that day. And you should give it its space and give it
our
some
Sim,
time.
For example, was by our back door. And we have a film crew of, you know, 20 people coming in and out all day long. That's a lot of stress for an animal to have all these people kind of in and out. And his crate was right there. I never thought of that. I never looked at it that way. I never thought of it that way. Everybody like loved Sin. Sin loved everybody. It wasn't like, I mean, yeah. Okay, you guys. So real quick, I want to touch base on Croy not getting off his ass. And
I still can't believe you're blaming me.
I guess it's not totally his fault.
All right.
Tune in next week. We've gone off on this tangent about Cash, the love of my life, my baby, of course. And I don't know, I just felt like all of this stuff was so important to share. So I will touch base next week. And I'm really hoping between now and next week, Croy gets off his ass.
We'll find out. At this point, I'm going to say no, because I didn't know it was my fault.
You know what I think bothers guys if I just call like a handyman? Do you want me to call a handyman?
Sure. Great.
Oh, okay.
Hope he's got his shirt off too and he's sweating and glistening.
You're so stupid.
Get him over here.
I highly doubt he's going to look like you, buddy, but okay. Okay, you guys, thanks so much for tuning into this episode of House of Kim, where there's going to be some bonus segments. Don't forget to check them out. It's fan interaction.
Thanks for listening to the House of Kim with Kim Zolciak Bierman. Catch new episodes weekly at pioneerpodcasting.com and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Love the show? Don't forget to leave a rating and review.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.